Perhaps the greatest mystery of the 20th century was who killed U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Was it Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone? Was it the CIA or elements of the CIA? Was it the mafia, the Russians, the Cubans, perhaps even Vice President Lyndon Johnson? We don't have the definitive answer. But our guest today is one of the world's leading experts on this subject, and he's uncovered some new information. I'm John Kiriakou, and you're watching The Whistleblowers. There are enough questions about the John F. Kennedy assassination to fill a library. Countless books already have been written on the subject, and many of them have only served to make the issue murkier, rather than to clear up some of the myriad questions surrounding the case. Every 5 or 10 years, Congress demands that the CIA declassify and release a tranche of documents related to the assassination, and with great hope among the public that more light would be shed on one of the most infamous crimes in American history, we are invariably disappointed. Many of us hang on films and documentaries by the likes of Oliver Stone to explain the many twists and turns in what has become a never-ending investigation. But now, historian Jefferson Morley, one of the leading experts in the world on the Kennedy assassination, has found some new information in recently released records. He's learned that the CIA has documents that show that accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald was on the CIA payroll and involved in a CIA operation 3 months before the Kennedy assassination. Now, before we get too far in front of ourselves, we have to explain what we mean here. It turns out that the hands-off Cuba committee that Oswald was a part of in the months before the Kennedy assassination was actually a CIA front organization. There's no indication that Oswald knew he was a member of a CIA front group or that he was involved in a CIA operation. But it certainly makes many of us wonder what other information the CIA still has about the Kennedy assassination that it doesn't want to make public. We're joined by Jefferson Morley. He's a journalist, author, and the editor of the JFK Facts blog. His latest book is called Scorpion's Dance, The President, The Spymaster, and Watergate. Jeff, welcome to the show. We're very happy to have you.
Thanks for having me, John.
Jeff, you made international news late last year with reports that the CIA is in possession of heretofore unseen documents about the Kennedy assassination. Tell us what those documents say, what they mean, and how you became aware of their existence.
So this is a complicated story, and I want to approach it very carefully. You said it at the outset, John, Oswald was on the CIA payroll. I would not go that far.
Okay.
He was watched very carefully by the CIA, and he appears to have been under CIA influence. Was he receiving money from the CIA? I don't have any evidence of that. But, you know, the story that I told last year and that we're hoping to clarify this year is about the interest of certain CIA officers in Oswald before the assassination. Mm-hmm. Why is this an important story? Well, this is something that the CIA deceived the Warren Commission and the public about from the start. The original story was, we didn't know anything about this guy. He just kind of came out of nowhere. With the declassification of a lot of records in the 1990s, we now know that that story was false, that in fact, top CIA officers monitored Oswald every step of his life from 1959 to 1963. They essentially watched him all the way go into Dealey Plaza. So that has never been explained by the CIA. How do we explain it? Well, the records that I came across are records that involve CIA officers involved with the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, which you referenced before, right? This was a nominally pro-Castro group. It wasn't just a CIA front group. The Fair Play for Cuba Committee was a real popular leftist group opposed to Kennedy's policy in Cuba. The point is the CIA had targeted this group, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, for harassment, disruption, and destruction, for COINTELPRO treatment, you know? And that was going on in the fall of 1963. So the records that I've identified, there's 44 records of a CIA officer stationed in Miami in 1963, whose agents were in contact with Oswald. All of that is well documented. And this is what the agency doesn't want to surrender. There's 44 of these documents. They've been denied in full, right? So we don't even have, like, you know, some unredacted portions. These documents are completely withheld. That's an indication of just how sensitive they are. Documents that are 60 years old.
Right.
And they all come down to the same question. They all bear on the same question. The operational interest of certain CIA officers in Oswald while Kennedy is still alive. That, just when you describe it that way, you understand how embarrassing this material is for the CIA and why they're refusing to release it. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a law. The law is very clear. This material has to be produced under US law. But the CIA, because they have a lot of influence over any president, have been able to stonewall and keep this material out of public view. So that's what's still going on right now. We did get some interesting information last month when President Biden ordered a new release of JFK files to be released, but the CIA withheld a lot of things. Oh, 4,400 documents still contain redactions. So, you know, they're trying to kick the can down the road and say, pay no attention, there's nothing here, mm-hmm. and hope that people forget about it. But people haven't forgot about it. We know where the story is. It's in these 44 files that the CIA has. They're at the CIA Freedom of Information Act office. These are mm-hmm. records that are known to exist, and they have to be produced under the law. The question is, can our political system muster the will to challenge a powerful agency like the CIA? You know, and so far, even, you know, President Trump didn't do it, President Biden didn't do it. There's not enough political will to tell the CIA, hey, you guys have to obey the law now. So until that happens, we're not going to get this story.
In your work, Jeff, you are very careful to avoid getting lost in the weeds of the minutiae, approaching the assassination of President Kennedy with more of a macro lens. Many times you mentioned that while much is unknown, a good launching point for the investigation is that Kennedy was killed by his enemies. And those enemies were powerful enough, they were influential enough, or resourceful enough to cover their tracks. While many may find it entertaining or captivating to get knee-deep in theories regarding Secret Service agents, et cetera, what's the utility of approaching this from this wider framing?
Well, you know, I always thought that the whole approach that people took to the Kennedy assassination, you know, develop a theory and then go find some facts that fit into your theory.
Yes.
You know, that as a journalist, that's not the way we work. I always work like, what's new? What have we learned recently that we didn't know before? And then what does that changing fact pattern tell you? And I think if you look at it that way, you don't get lost in the weeds and you see this larger pattern of institutional behavior. And that's what has enabled me to say, hey, you know, what's the CIA trying hardest to hide?
Yes.
That's where we want to go, right? Because whatever they're trying hardest to hide, that's what's most newsworthy, right? That's going to be where the most sensitive story is. So that's what we found now, is where the records are that will explain the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need to get the political will to get somebody in Congress, the courts, or the White House to say to the CIA, you have to cough this stuff up.
I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he told me the most interesting story. It's a story that I hadn't heard before. On the day that his uncle was killed, November 22nd, 1963, his mother, Ethel Kennedy, pulled him out of school early and brought him home to their home in McLean, Virginia. Now, the head of the CIA at the time was a family friend who would come over to the house literally every single day when the weather was nice and swim in the pool. Yeah. When Bob arrived at home, and he was just 9 years old at the time, he said he got out of the car and he heard his father ask the CIA director, or say to the CIA director, tell me that your people didn't do this. And the director responded, I don't know who did this. Now, you can read a lot into that, but to me, the implication is that the CIA or elements of the CIA were working independently of any oversight. So where you conclude that the president had powerful, resourceful enemies, I think that's a perfect fit. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and you know, John McCone was a good friend of Robert Kennedy's. They were both devout Catholics. Mm-hmm. McCone's wife had died of cancer, and Bobby and Ethel Kennedy were very good to him in that time, a very difficult time for him. And so he did become close friends with them, and he did go to Hickory Hill to Robert Kennedy's house on the afternoon of November 22nd. Mm-hmm. That was the first person Bobby Kennedy wanted to see. And Arthur Schlesinger tells the story. He tells it slightly differently than the way RFK Jr. told it to you, but that Bobby Kennedy said to McCone, your people did this, or tell me that your people didn't do this. Now, in Schlesinger's account, McCone convinced Bobby Kennedy that the CIA wasn't involved.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the way Schlesinger tells the story in his biography of RFK. But clearly, that's what Bobby Kennedy thought in the moment. And there's another story that you should know. You know, later that week, the president was killed on a Friday. The following Friday, November 29, Bobby and Jackie Kennedy met with a man named William Walton, who was a friend of Jackie's. He was a painter. And he was going to Moscow for a cultural exchange program previously planned. And they told him, we want you to take a message to the Kremlin, to the people there. And the message is this. Some people say Oswald was a communist and are trying to connect him to the communist world. We don't attach any importance to that. We think that the president mm-hmm. was killed by a major domestic conspiracy.
Wow.
And Bobby Kennedy is going to try and get back and become president. If he becomes president, he will continue his brother's policies of detente towards the Soviet Union. It was kind of a reassuring message. Mm-hmm. We're not going to blame you, and we want to return to JFK's policies. You know, but that's what Jackie and Bobby Kennedy thought a week after the assassination. They thought President Kennedy had been killed by his domestic enemies. And there's a lot of evidence to support that. So that's what we're still, you know, struggling to find out is, you know, what happened? How did that happen? But clearly, Bobby Kennedy thought that and thought that for the rest of his life.
Yes. Dramatic. What should historians and the American people take from this this new information? Lee Harvey Oswald was a person of interest to the CIA, as you said, from 1959 throughout 1963. What does that mean in the greater scope of things? Does it point a stronger finger, do you think, at the CIA? And are we talking about official CIA or elements of the CIA?
We're talking about senior officials in the counterintelligence staff and the directorate of operation, people who reported directly to Deputy Director Dick Helms or to counterintelligence chief James Angleton. And one of the important things is people say, oh yes, of course they were, you know, keeping track of him because he had been a defector, he had lived in the Soviet Union. But the people who were paying attention to him, this is important to understand, they weren't just paying attention to him for the sake of keeping track of somebody. When they kept track of somebody that closely, they were used for operational purposes.
Oh, sure.
And that's the part of the story that's still has a shroud of official mm-hmm. secrecy around it, right? This operational interest. Sure, we wanted to know what he was doing, but these people wanted to use him for some specific task or some specific goal that they wanted to achieve. And that's what the records that I'm talking about. We know from the CIA's own description of them that they involve intelligence methods, they involve questions mm-hmm. of cover. That's why the CIA says they can't be made public. But the story that they conceal is the story of this interest in Oswald. So what was that interest? You know, that's why we need to see the records, because
that's right.
You know, it could be that they were paying close attention to him and they didn't realize he was going to shoot the president. Mm-hmm. It could be that they were paying close attention to him and they were manipulating him to do something that they wanted done. You know, mm-hmm. we don't know, but we do know that there was this interest, and we do know that the CIA is still hiding it today.
Jeff, stay with us, please. We are going to take a short break. We're speaking with author, historian, and journalist Jefferson Morley about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We'll be back with more questions for him after this short break. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
I'll look forward to talking to you all.
That technology should work for people.
A robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
Show your identification.
We should be very careful about artificial intelligence.
The point, obviously, is to create trust rather than fear.
I would like to take on various jobs.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon.
A robot must protect its own existence as own existence.
It seems that every few years, the U.S. president orders the National Archives to release documents related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Indeed, Congress has mandated that all documents related to the murder be released, but that hasn't happened. The documents still come out in dribs and drabs, and much of the information, even when released, is redacted. We're talking about the Kennedy assassination and the documents with our guest, historian, author, and journalist Jefferson Morley. Welcome back, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, John.
Jeff, I'm perplexed as to why presidents of both parties have steadfastly refused to declassify additional JFK documents, despite the fact that Congress has mandated declassification and release unanimously. So many years have passed. What does the CIA have to hide? Are they trying to protect information related to operations in places like Mexico City, Havana, Moscow? Are they trying to protect sources, maybe even the dead ones? Why the reluctance to just come clean unless there's some involvement?
Well, there's a, you know, as a clandestine service, they are just inherently reflexively resistant
yes.
to
True.
Complying with full disclosure laws. And so I think one part of this is they don't want to create any precedent where outsiders can come in and say, you have to declassify this and you have to declassify that. What they say about what they're withholding is, this is information that will harm national security if released. You know, but then when we see what had been withheld and when new information is released, like in December, like last December, you know, the information for the most part is not earth-shattering.
No.
It's not the name of live informants. You know, it's pretty mundane stuff. So what's going on is they're trying to make sure that they have the last word. And the question you raise is a good one. Why, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, why would you keep hiding things? And their position now is, well, we just need to keep hiding this stuff, but trust us, there's nothing that matters in there.
Right.
Well, yeah, right. Like Ronald Reagan said, yeah, trust, but verify, okay? We want verification that there's nothing in there, and they won't provide it. So that's suspicious behavior, right? I mean,
sure
why
is.
Wouldn't you do? If you didn't have something to hide, why wouldn't you come clean? So I believe
yes.
that they are hiding significant information that's embarrassing. Now, well, 60 years ago, why not? You know, well, JFK occupies a special place in American culture, American imagination, American politics. And so, you know, if something's very embarrassing about JFK, that could be really, really harmful to the CIA today. And like, you know, somebody would get called up to Congress and have to explain things, and their budget might be cut, or, you know, people would demand answers about this or that. So, you know, you say, oh, it's ancient history, but when it's JFK, it, you know, it's radioactive. It's mm-hmm. a live matter still in politics today and could have a big impact on the bureaucracy as it exists today.
You have studied the Kennedy assassination perhaps more than anybody else. What does this new information lead you to believe about the possible involvement of other players in the killing. And I'm thinking mostly about the mob or Cuban exiles who have long faced accusations. Is there any new information that has you weighing changes in your analysis?
Well, I think that, we don't have a good explanation of what happened on November 22nd. We see a lot of CIA stonewalling. Mm-hmm. But I think, what's in these records in terms of what they would show about, who specifically, was acting in a suspicious or, a malevolent way towards the president. We're not going to be able to answer those questions until we see all the documents. The way I see it is there's a couple of possibilities of senior CIA officials who meet the criteria of knew about Oswald before the assassination, were involved in other assassination operations, or who implicated themselves in the crime. And when we look at that group of people, we can narrow this down and say, most likely we're talking about, top CIA officials, Bill Harvey or Jim Angleton. Mm-hmm. We might be talking about top people at the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Given the secrecy, we can't be sure. But for me, that's where it's narrowing down to senior CIA officials, Cuban exiles in pay of the CIA, and Pentagon officials involved in false flag operations against Cuba. Mm-hmm. That's where the focus that I see is now.
Jeff, where does the Kennedy assassination investigation go from here? Should we expect to see more documents released eventually, in the near term, in the long term? Do you expect them to contribute substantially to the existing body of evidence? And why do you think, you mentioned this a moment ago, why do you think that Americans are still so captivated by the Kennedy assassination 60 years after it took place?
Let me start with that last one. The question of classified information and when can it be made public and what's harmful to national security, that's in our headlines every day now, right?
Right.
President Biden took these documents. Trump took those documents. So it's all about what's classified. How do we control it? How does the government control its information? So the questions raised by the Kennedy assassination are with us today. Mm-hmm. And that's why, that's why it matters today. I think that, the price that we paid in 1963 when we didn't have a real investigation, we had a very superficial investigation,
yes,
the Warren Commission, a commission that was operating in the dark on a lot of key questions and never knew how to ask the right questions because the CIA had kept them in the dark. Think about it in a common sense point of view. Of course, it all should be made public. It all should have been made public a long time ago, And that's the thing that we need to impress upon the leadership of the country. But it's very difficult because, CIA is a big organization.
Sure.
They've resisted this thing time and again. They stiffed Trump. They stiffed Biden.
Yes.
They'll stiff the next president.
Yes.
Because, that's the way they do business.
It is. I've always said that the CIA normally loves it when a new president is elected and he doesn't have intelligence experience, because that new president begins his classified briefings the day after the election. And so a team from the CIA's presidential daily brief staff goes to the president-elect, and they lay out all this classified information, and they say, Mr. President-elect, wait until you hear the cool things that we're doing all around the world. And they give him these blue border or black border reports that are classified 4, 5, 6 levels above top secret, and they've recruited him. They've made him one
right.
of the guys. They love that.
Right. No, and every power, every president has been intoxicated.
Intoxicated is the word.
By the power that the CIA offers, right? The secret solution, the painless solution. There's no political downside because nobody will know about it. Presidents who want to get things done, which is pretty much all president, that's a powerful drug for them. And, and it might work once or twice, mm-hmm. but historically, it's backfired badly many times, but that's not the experience that presidents have. They go in and they want that power, They want it. They want that instrument of power that the CIA represents. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's part of the problem that we've had, is because we haven't had accountability, because presidents at the end of the day say, I want them to be able to do whatever they want, you know,
yeah.
And so they keep getting away with it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's another thing at the CIA, too. It's kind of an attitude where if they don't like a president and a president doesn't like them, they know that they can outweigh that president. Because if you're in the leadership at the CIA, you've been there 20, 25, 30 years, sometimes more than 30 years. Presidents come and go every 4 years or every eight. And so if they don't like you, they just wait and somebody else is going to come and take that position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. You know, and we've seen that on the JFK records. You know, it's like Trump rhetorically, you know, no president has ever been so hostile to the CIA rhetorically as Trump.
That's right.
Since Harry Truman. When push came to shove with the JFK records, he gave them everything they wanted. He didn't push back at all. Now, you know, we don't know why Trump did that. I assume it was, you know, he had something else on his mind that day. I don't attribute any grand importance to it.
Sure.
But, you know, Biden wouldn't buck them either.
Yeah.
Now, he's more of an institutionalist type guy. He's going to go along to get along. You know, at the end of the day, they need the CIA and the CIA doesn't need them. That's what the JFK files story tells us.
I think you are 100% right. That, unfortunately, is all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our guest, historian, author, and journalist Jefferson Morley, and thank you to our viewers. I'm glad that you could join us. The Buddha once said, there are three things that cannot be hidden, the sun, the moon, and the truth, to which the great scientist Galileo added, all truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them. I'm John Kiriakou, and this has been The Whistleblowers.